Good evening and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. It is a blessing to be in the studio with my beautiful sister Tara. We are going to be opening up the book of Acts, Tara Rye's Bible study called Tell It Well. And we have been blessed to do the first two chapters and we are headed down chapter three.
It's exciting. I have been spending probably a year and a half now in these first 12 chapters, and it's amazing the things that God has been bringing to mind and revealing to me. Last night, my family sat down and we watched a movie from the 90s called Time Changer. It is a Christian movie. You can check it out somewhere, probably the library or Blockbuster or whatever, I don't know. And the movie's premise is, there's one line where one of the main characters, the man, says, "Satan does not mind or care about morality. Satan only cares whether or not Jesus' name is connected with it. He doesn't mind moral people. Moral people are fine because you can have a lot of moral people but not have them be in Christ." And as I was preparing today for Acts 3, it dawned on me that what we're going to be looking at here in Acts 3, it's all about in the name of Jesus. And what we're going to find is the disciples continue on. You know, we've looked at where the ascension has occurred, and now we have the Pentecost, and we are moving into where they're going to go into their solid teaching time. And I'm going to story and tell you in my own words now, Acts 3, and then we'll begin and we'll go through and we'll look at some of the things that a walk of authenticity might have in the name of Jesus, what it'll look like. So, as Peter and John were walking into Solomon's colonnade, going through the gate called Beautiful to the time of prayer, there was a beggar that they had been bringing in his whole life and laying him at the gate. And as they laid him at the gate, the beggar looked up at Peter and John, and he begged them for alms. And Peter looked down at him, and he said, look at me. And he said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have in Christ I give you." And he reached out and he grabbed the man's hand and lifted. And as the man lifted up, his bones and legs healed through him. And when he stood, he was completely able to stand up. He was so excited by what happened. He began to dance and he began to leap. And he was like making this huge scene in Solomon's colonnade where they were standing. And everybody was seeing what was going on. We're so excited. They began to draw up to find out what had happened. And Peter, being the spokesman that he was, when he looked out and he saw this huge, tremendous crowd, he realized he needed to speak up. And he looked out at the men and he said, "Why are you so surprised? Really, I mean, you think that we have done this by our own power? We did not do this by our own power. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our very own ancestors, told us that he was going to be sending his servant." And he said, "He's the same one that you betrayed. Not only is he the one you betrayed, you turned against him and you gave him over to Pilate." And then he began to say, "In fact, not only did you do that, you murdered him. You murdered and rejected Jesus." Mm-hmm. And he said, "He was holy and he was good and he was righteous, and you disowned him. Not only did you disown him, but you killed the one who gives life. The giver of life, you killed him. And you look at this man and you're surprised." And he goes, "God didn't allow Jesus to remain dead. He raised him from the dead. And as you look at this man, you see him, you know him. You knew he was a beggar. You knew he was crippled. It is not by what we have done, but it's by faith in the name of Jesus Christ that he has been made strong. And it's by the faith in his name that he's been made completely well. Brothers, leaders, I understand that your ancestors, they acted out of ignorance. I understand that that it wasn't to where they completely understood fully what had happened. But God spoke through the prophets that his servant would have to suffer. And he kept his promise. You need to repent and turn to God. Give yourselves to God, and he will forgive you." So he can give you that time of refreshing you so long for, but it can only come through his Son, Jesus Christ. In fact, Moses said that the Lord would choose one of your very own, a prophet from your own people, someone from your own family, and that you needed to listen to him. But no one was willing, and they disobeyed him, even though he was one of God's own people. In fact, even Samuel, he said, and the prophets said this was going to happen. And yet, when you were listening to Abraham, and Abraham's the promise that we were given, it said that through all of his people, through his nations, will be blessed through your family. And God chose this chosen son, and he sent him to you, to you. You were the first ones he chose to send him to. And yet, you turned against him. Each of you need to turn from your sins and from this wicked generation. May God honor the storing of his word. It was a very serious moment, because we have moved now from when they had the great big huge experience with Pentecost, and they're all talking and celebrating, to this time where they're going in just to do their normal teaching and stuff and the colonnades, and this healing takes place. The people are so surprised. And then he begins a condemnation on them for what they'd done. He showed them that they were the children of God. He showed them through the spokesman of Abraham, Moses, and the prophets how God made known that he would send through their own people a suffering servant that would save them. And then he gave three titles to the name of Jesus. And they rejected, murdered, and refused to obey. What would be the holy and righteous one, the author of life, the very one who gives life, and his suffering servant, Jesus. And in the next month, what we're going to do is we're going to break this down, and I want us to look at through Acts to see what we can discover in this passage. It excites me because there's something powerful that happened at that gate that day. And this passage in particular, as I've studied the series, I think has become the one that has most ministered to my soul. Mm. And I think the reason is that when the beggar was looking up at Christ and he was begging for silver and gold, when he was looking up at Peter, begging for silver and gold, Peter looked at him and said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have in Christ, I give you." Mm. I think sometimes we get so overwhelmed by the expectations of the world, of people, a job, our education, our children, our spouse, our friends, our neighbors, whatever, the expectations of the world, that we feel that we have to give so much more than what we have. Mm-hmm. And is such a peace to know we don't have to give anything but just what we have in the Lord. And that means I don't have to work at it. And that's a crazy concept, to think that, you know, you don't have to work to give something when you're trying to give something through the Lord, because it's not you being the giver. And what I did is I broke out this particular section I want us to look at. We're going to talk about expectations. Let's think about expectations, because Peter and John walking into the temple colonnade, they had an expectation. What do you think their expectation was?
Let's see. Peter and John were going to the temple for a prayer, probably just to go and pray.
Draw near to God.
Draw near to God, right.
Yeah. So they're walking in, and they have something. They're going to go draw near to God, and here they've got this beggar asking for silver and gold. And it sure would be easy to get frustrated with somebody asking me for silver and gold when I'm wanting to go and pray.
Yeah, distraction.
Yeah.
Yeah, irritable.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty much everything you just said is exactly how I felt this whole week. And I'm like, God, you're just amazing. His word is so alive and active. And it's so true when what you just said. I'm just reiterating what you just said, that God is the giver, not me.
That's exactly
it. Not you.
That's exactly
it. And I think we just need to really know that and live that. And I had a devotional this morning. I was just trying to pull it up, but the whole thing was the comparing yourself and expecting yourself to be like other people And so it's funny, like, I know God's trying to teach me something right now. So it's amazing. Thank you for that.
It's so funny. This week, I can't tell you how many times I wrote in my computer when I'm writing, and I was trying to write the finish up, the Tell It Wells chapter on Acts 12, my final chapter. And the distractions were phenomenal. I mean, I can't tell you how many phone calls and or email requests, text requests. The distractions were incredible. And some of them were great blessings, and some of them were annoyances. Some of them were requests. Some of them there were just words of encouragement. But I began to view it all as a form of distraction. And just thinking through how in any given circumstance, there are as many people that are in the situation, there is a host of expectations equivalent to the number of people, if not more.
Oh.
And we have the beggar. What is the beggar's expectation?
The beggar's expectations are probably out of this world. I mean, everything. He needs food. He needs miracles. The beggar needs food.
Based on his question of Peter, or his request, what would you say his immediate thoughts were as far as expectation? Alms. Give me alms. That would be the silver and gold. Money.
He wanted alms.
He wanted help financially.
Okay.
Some kind of...
But when you think of a beggar, you think of somebody that's very needy.
Completely. Completely. Needy in all capacities. Mm-hmm. There will be the verbal ones that he spoke, but there's also going to be all of those expectations that Sabrina talked about. I was thinking, why? Why the gate called beautiful? You know, God puts things in Scripture for mm-hmm. us to see it for a reason. And
He's the gate.
He is the gate. And in fact, was it Trinity Church right now? I don't know if y'all have heard. This is so cool because I love their new name. They have renamed their church here in Omaha to Life Gate. Oh. Light representing that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And gate represent he is the narrow gate, life gate.
Love
and
that.
I know. And so, but it just, my mind triggered to that because it was something I just caught on. I know they've had it for a while, but you know, when we're an outsider looking in, I was like, I love your name, y'all.
That's
so
cool.
Trinity, Life Gate, woohoo, cool name.
Love that.
I was looking at this whole, the gate called beautiful. Why beautiful? Why would he tell us with a beggar begging alms in mm-hmm. front of Peter that we would have to know the gate that he was walking in? And I looked it up, and it was interesting because it comes from the Greek word horaios, and it means seasonably or timely. I wasn't what I was expecting. And the actual physical structure of the building, they say it was incredible. The actual doors were said to have been 50 feet high and 40 feet wide. This is not a little gate. 50 feet high and 40 feet wide. Not only that, it was completely covered with gold and what they would call Corinthian brass. And the Corinthian brass is what they would hammer out to make mirrors. Mm-hmm. It could just really shine beautifully. So gold and brass, 50 feet high and 40 feet wide. Yeah. How many people can walk through that space? A tremendous number of people. And as they're going into the colonnade for the time of prayer with the intent of drawing near to the Lord, there happens to be a man who's begging, and he catches their attention. And he must have been begging pretty randomly, because when Peter looked down at him, he says, "Look at us." In verse 4, Peter looked straight at him, as did John. They both looked straight at him. They saw him. Mm-hmm. This is important for us to understand. And when they saw him, he says, "Look at us." There are a lot of times we can have people that are requesting things of us, mm-hmm. but not really looking at us. And that goes into the whole expectation thing. I mean, you think about a husband and wife and how things can go awry when an expectation is not being met. Mm-hmm. And one will say, you're not seeing me. You're not seeing me. or even with children, you know, my daughter, I can be looking straight at her and she will look me in the face and say, you don't understand. And I'm like, I am trying. You know, it's like you have that something that you need to have communicated. And so he wanted to make sure he understood. And this is where Peter provides for us the example that we all need. And Sabrina nailed it exactly. It is, he says, get up. And then Sabrina, I want you to just read those verses specifically for us. Would you read verse 4 and 5 and 6?
Okay. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.
Okay. Go ahead and read 7 because it sums it up well.
Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong.
It was instant. Okay. He says, I want us to look at, I try when you look at scripture, I want you to look at and break it down. My mind as a person who is wanting to help people to communicate the word of God, Peter did some very profound things at this moment. He has a person with an expectation for silver and gold. Peter understands and recognizes that this man's need is beyond silver and gold. The silver and gold and his handicap need is minor compared to the fact that spiritually he's dead. And he says, look, he looks down at him. He reaches with his hand and touches the beggar. And then he lifts him up and gives him the giver. I mean, this is really profound. And thinking about when somebody has a need and whatever the circumstances are, oftentimes our expectation is for the temporal side of what is going on. Yet here we have a biblical example of how the spiritual is where we need to get the focus, because when the spiritual is taken care of, we find out that all of a sudden all the needs within the physical aspects of what is going on, they get met. And that's what Peter is showing him, that in Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the cool thing is that very rarely will you actually see Jesus Christ of Nazareth where it's used exactly in that order. In fact, I think it's the only time in Acts that it's worded that way. And so we're so glad that you've come in and caught and listened to Acts 3 with us this week with the story. And you need to come back next week, because what we're going to do is we're going to examine an expectation of God on us. Does God have expectations on us? Does he look at us and expect certain things? Or are we free from expectations from God? God bless.